This is the Secret Life of Mold podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret Life of Mold podcast, live edition. I'm your host, Craig Cooper, and next to me virtually is my co-host, Mike Marshall. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Craig. And hello to all of our viewers. Super excited to be here for our very first edition, a live edition of the Secret Life of Mold podcast. So thanks for having me. Appreciate that.
You bet. My pleasure. This is exciting. Today, we've got a great opportunity to really talk to our audience and just kind of share some information about a pretty hot topic right now. As we all know, staying at home is where the majority of us are, at least for the time being. During this unique period of the stay-at-home order, there's a lot of concerns about our air quality in the home. And if you're at home and with your family and you feel like you have something that just feels off, something different than what you normally experienced when you're at work, you just have some kind of a heightened sense of allergies or just feeling sick or just generally not feeling well. Well, it could be potentially an indoor air quality issue or potentially mold as well. Regardless of underlying health, indoor air pollution can leave you more susceptible to infection.
Yeah, absolutely. It can. And, so glad you guys were able to join us for this super important topic. Before we get into it, don't forget that if you guys have a question, feel free to add it to that comment below. And we're going to do our best to get that answer to you shortly here in our Q&A session towards the end. But I do agree with that, Craig. You know, if you're one of the millions of Americans right now that's subject to breathing polluted air, you may be at a greater risk for contracting the coronavirus, COVID-19, and having a more severe reaction or severe infection. Basically, those reasons are twofold. First, in outdoor air pollution can cause or, just aggravate respiratory illnesses like asthma or COPD. And those illnesses in themselves can make you more susceptible to the worst effects of COVID-19 type lung infection. And, secondly, exposure to outdoor air pollution is also known to raise the chance of contracting viruses in the first place, regardless of your underlying health condition. So interesting, I was reading a report last week from Meredith McCormick. She is a spokeswoman for the American Lung Association and also a professor at Johns Hopkins University. She said that, all things being equal, a person who is exposed to air pollutions would likely have a worse outcome if they were exposed to coronavirus. So increased pollution increases that susceptibility to infections. The good news, bad news here is that although Americans are spending less time exposed to outdoor pollutants, even though you might not expect it, indoor air can sometimes be worse than the outdoor air, as you know. But now that many of us are cooped up at home, indoor air quality is even more on the front lines of being important. It's at the front of mind, so to speak. So what you're being exposed to now more than ever is because you're increasing the time you spend at home by, up to 200% in some cases. So what's in the air you're breathing for 22 plus hours a day now that you're home during these shelter in place efforts? What's off-gassing volatile organic compounds or VOCs in higher concentrations now that you're in the home a majority of the time? Well, things like cleaning products and fragrances, people who might be burning fuel at home to stay warm or paint. Paint is one of those I know very well because my wife is painting just about every surface in our home right now. And, you want to make sure if something like that's happening, you're getting proper ventilation in those areas when you have increased activity like that, we are. So what about glues from furniture or carpeting that you still have in the bathroom? Wait, you guys still have carpeting in the bathroom? Didn't I tell you to get rid of that 1980 era carpet in the bathroom in one of our last episodes? If you still have that carpet in the bathroom, you need to get rid of it right now. It was a bad idea then. It's a bad idea now. Why is it a bad idea? Well, as you know, Craig, because the bathroom has the highest levels of humidity in the home. And what happens when you mix high humidity and moisture with highly absorbent or porous building materials or carpet? That famous four-letter word that's one of the worst contributors to poor indoor air quality and allergenic response. That's right. Mold. M-O-L-D. Craig, you know anything about mold? I heard you know a little bit about mold.
I do know a little bit about mold, Mike. I love the example of the carpet. We do see that occasionally, and I always shake my head, and sometimes people just don't really understand that, it's just not a great idea, so I agree. Yeah, mold is what we specialize in. We also, of course, work with indoor air quality in general. Allergenic clientele will bring us in sometimes to really figure out, okay, is this their home that's causing triggers for asthma or their allergies? Is it dander? Is it dust mites? Or is it a mold problem? So yes, mold is definitely something that is our expertise. And we really take it to a level where a lot of people just, if they've never experienced a mold problem or indoor air quality problems, you really don't know what's involved in the whole process. And it's, it sometimes it can be very difficult and complex as far as kind of what's causing people to have health symptoms. And so that's our job, and our role is to go in and help them kind of figure that out and do the testing.
I know we are still doing inspections out here in Texas. Craig, are you guys still doing inspection in your markets?
We are, absolutely. This is kind of a challenging time. You know, we believe that our service is an essential service, and we are still able to operate. We are still conducting inspections. And honestly, I think at this time, it's probably more important than ever that we're out there helping people because they are in their home so much right now. And we've had a lot of calls from people, concerned about an odor that maybe they noticed before, but it was something that was just kind of in the back of their mind. Well, now that they're in their home the majority of the time, not only are they noticing that odor even more, but now it's kind of on the forefront of their mind. Okay, we know this has been here for a while, but we don't really know why. Maybe it's time to get this checked out. And, you know, we are still operating as normal. Our inspectors, you know, we've changed, like most companies, service companies, we've changed our operations a little bit in the fact that we're, of course, observing social distancing, even on our inspections, we maintain that distance. It used to be that I would introduce myself and I would automatically reach out my hand and shake my client's hand when I meet them. And we aren't doing that currently. And that's okay. I will admit that I've had a couple times where I've started to reach my hand out and you kind of catch yourself and you're like, oh, and so you do the old, you know, I don't know if you can see this, the old elbow, elbow thing, you know, that everybody's doing now. And so that's a little different. We're very in tune with the concerns that people have at this time. We have the ability to do a what we call a no-touch inspection for someone who's highly sensitized or immunocompromised or just a high risk. We have the ability to come in and truly, by wearing gloves, nitrile gloves, you know, our inspectors are cleaning their equipment before they come in. They have clean clothes. All these things that we're doing, which honestly, we did that before for the most part, but we just take it to a higher level now. So we're doing everything we can to ensure our clients' safety and our inspectors as well. What about you guys, Mike? What are you guys doing there?
So, you know, pretty much a lot of the same. We had an inspection last week that one of the clients asked if we were wearing personal protective equipment, and we can take that to the fullest, whatever the client is comfortable with. We have full coveralls. We can do a full half face respirators, obviously gloves, but the social distancing is the biggest key. No touch inspections. You know, we're not touching clients or shaking hands, things like that. Just making sure that they feel comfortable, whatever level of comfort that they need is the level that we can provide for them out here. And I think it's pretty much mirrors what you guys are doing out there as well.
It does. It sure sounds like it. You don't think about all the touch points that we have in life and, you know, washing our hands and then retouching things. So it is something we have to put some thought into. You know, we used to on site for our inspections, we used to have clients, you know, sign a service agreement. They would provide payment, whether it be through check or credit card. And they would use, you know, we'd use the Square app and we would take their card and scan their card and they would sign the phone. And so all these things that we used to do and not really think about, you know, we're changing so that we don't have to have those contact points anymore. We're able to do DocuSigns for the service agreement. So our client doesn't have to touch our pen or the papers that we were touching. So we've really stepped up, you know, our awareness with that. And I think it's helping a lot. Well, Mike, yeah, it's kind of strange times. We're doing what we can. Very important though, for us to continue our work. We're working with a lot of people who are just really in need of having just information. And a lot of it truly is just peace of mind. You know, they may not know they have a problem, but maybe they're not feeling well. And they just want that peace of mind when they're in their home, that they're going to feel like they have a safe environment. And that's really what we're all about, is helping people make sure that they have a safe and healthy home. And if they don't, if they have something going on, you know, we're there to help them. That's our job, is to help them with solutions and give them information they need so they can take the next steps to create that safe environment.
I think you hit it on the head there, because, you know, what you don't want is you don't want the environment that you're living in to be contributing to the factors that you're dealing with. If you do are unfortunate enough to contract coronavirus, you want to make sure that at least your environment isn't contributing to worsening those conditions or worsening your condition, I should say. So yeah, you want to make sure we're addressing those issues for them. So good point.
Yeah. You know, I see we just had a question come in that actually is right in line with what we've been talking about. The question is, I'm not experiencing any reactions in my living environment now, but what can I do to make sure my family and I remain safe? It's a great question. You know, I would say that's great if you're not experiencing any reactions in your home. And there are certainly things that you can do to improve the safety of the home. I would say, you know, one of the first things I would recommend is just the basic safety items. A lot of times we don't think about this, but smoke detectors. This is not air quality related or mold related, but, you know, one of the most basic things is making sure that you test your smoke detectors and you have safe operating smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. That's kind of the number one first thing for trying to make sure you have a safe home. And then going back into the actual home itself, I think a lot of us are so aware now of having clean surfaces. We're doing probably more cleaning than ever, and disinfecting and so forth. I think that's important to continue to do that. You know, door handles, all the common touch points that we have, countertops, refrigerator handles, light switches and so forth. So continuing, you know, good cleaning. I think for as far as air quality, this is a good time when we have time to be in our home to really take a close look around and look underneath your sinks, pull out some of the items underneath your sinks and look and see if there's any leaks, plumbing leaks, any unusual staining or odors. If you have a particular room or area that has a kind of what people call describe as a musty or moldy odor, that's usually a red flag to a problem. So that's something that you'd want to investigate. Our service, and when we do a mold assessment, includes just that. We're going through and looking for all those what we call red flag conditions or suspect conditions. But the homeowner can also do that, you know, just when you're really just trying to make sure you have a safe environment, start with taking a close look at your home. The value of having a mold assessment is it's not just a mold inspection, but it's a moisture investigation. It's a moisture assessment. So our inspectors are going in areas that you would probably never go in, such as the attic. If you have a crawl space underneath your home, not a place that most people spend any time or even look in. So that's what we do. And you can have conditions in those areas that can affect the air quality in the home. So great question. Mike, did you see any other questions on your end that you want to address?
Sure. Yeah. We had a question come in from Michelle Hader. Thanks for the question, Michelle. Michelle wants to know, what is the best way to get rid of black mold? Black mold is kind of like that catchphrase everyone uses that is the dangerous types of mold or the most dangerous types of mold. But the first step there is, Michelle, is to obviously get an assessment done because not all, it depends on what surface it's on. There's a lot of contributing factors as to what is the best way. There are a lot of different ways to get rid of molds, and there's not one cookie cutter method. Each situation is unique, and we come out, we'll do an assessment, you know, even if it's just a limited area. If it's only in one area, we'll take a look at those areas and maybe some of the surrounding areas, let you know if that's just the tip of the iceberg, or if that's the complete problem or just the tip of the iceberg. You know, you might have a bigger problem depending on the situation. So to give you one answer as to what is the best way to get rid of black mold, my answer to you, not to be too on the assessment side here, is to have a professional come out and take a look at what's going on so that we can get you the proper guidance as to what is actually the best way. I don't think I can answer it specifically one way or the other in this interview anyway. There are a lot of underlying and contributing factors that would go into that removal. Wouldn't want to misinform you, but reach out to us and give us a call if you're experiencing an issue, and we'd be happy to help you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks, Michelle, for that question. Going back to black mold too, you know, Michelle, one of the things that we're really looking at is the condition of the building materials where that mold is growing on. Typically, toxigenic type of molds are more likely to grow where there's high moisture. So where you have water damaged building materials, especially sheetrock and drywall, flooring, that sort of thing, wall materials, that's likely where you're going to have or the most likely area where the potentially could be black mold. And so those are areas you want to determine, you know, do you have those areas in your home? Are those conditions occurring? Do you have plumbing leaks? Do you have a very slow leak underneath the sink or a faucet, shower faucet that may be leaking into the wall cavity? And if you have mold as a result of that, then that's definitely something you want to have a professional look into. So thank you again. All right. I've got a question here from Susan. And Susan asks, or she states, hi, I'm immunocompromised and want to make sure that I'm living in a safe place. Can you test my home and make sure living conditions are optimal? And what kind of testing would you do? Yeah, great question, Susan. That's, again, kind of what we're talking about is we want to get that peace of mind that we are living in a safe environment. We absolutely can test your home. That, again, what we've talked about, our job and our role is to assess the conditions through a very thorough visual inspection, a moisture investigation. And, you know, we always start with a consultation at the beginning and we ask you a lot of questions, about what you've observed in the home, your concern areas, your health in some cases. What are your symptoms? Not that we're doctors, but in some cases, it'll help us kind of pinpoint the areas we may want to be concerned about. With the type of testing we do varies. We offer quite a few different types of testing. On the microbial end, we provide ambient air testing, which is air sampling for mold spores that are airborne in a room or area. We recommend that when we do suspect a mold problem. That can give us information about potentially the level of mold compared to what we would consider normal conditions in the outdoor environment. And we're looking at what's indoors, the types and quantities of mold spores compared to the outdoor environment. That type of testing will sometimes help us determine what level of concern we should have in regards to mold and what level of remediation or cleaning may be needed in some cases. We also do surface testing. So a direct examination sample is collecting an actual physical sample of suspected mold. And we can have one of our leading labs that we use in the country. They would do an analysis of that and determine if it's mold and what type. We also do dust analysis, what we call qPCR testing, which is higher level testing for DNA level testing for mold species for the most concerning types of molds. And then allergy testing, we can provide an allergy test, which basically tests the four most common indoor types of allergens. And a lot of people don't realize that we sometimes, if you wake up and you have kind of a sore throat or you're congested and you just don't feel well when you first wake up, it's a pretty common symptom I hear from a lot of people. And I always ask them, do you have dust mite covers on your mattress and your pillows? Mm-hmm. And how old are your pillows? Because dust mites are actually one of the most common indoor allergens that most people don't even realize they're being exposed to. Yeah. Some people, if they are sensitive to dust, have high sensitivities to dust mites as well. So sometimes it's as simple as just suggesting to our clients, hey, why don't you try this? Let's get rid of those 20-year-old pillows and let's put them in dust mite covers and cover your mattress as well and see how you feel. Do a real thorough deep clean in your home, in that sleeping room especially. Your sleeping room needs to be your most clean environment. That's where you spend the most time. We're laying horizontally, breathing differently. It's really critical to have very clean air in that time. You know, this is a tough subject, but sometimes if I'm working with someone who has allergenic symptoms and they have pets in the home, you know, the truth of the matter is our bodies sometimes change over time. And sometimes we can develop sensitivities and allergies that we never had 10 years ago. And that does happen. And so sometimes they say, well, my dog sleeps with me, but I'm not allergic to the dog. I've had the dog for 8 years and never experienced any problems. Well, maybe, but that actually could be potentially an allergen that you've become sensitive to. So all these things we kind of look at big picture wise and try to really kind of help our clients determine what is the concern area? Is it allergens? Is it mold? Is it VOCs? And helping with that. Great question, Susan. Thank you so much for that. Mike, I'm going to go over to you.
Definitely. I do. I have another question from Wally from Gulf Breeze, Florida asks, if I suspect a mold issue, can I just use an air cleaner to help regulate my living environment, or would opening windows and increasing ventilation help? Well, I'll just say yes. All of those things can and will help, but that's exactly what they will do. They'll help. In just doing those things, you're kind of applying somewhat of a little bit of a Band-Aid if you have a bigger underlying issue, like a mold issue. You don't get someone out to take a look at what's really going on, you may have a bigger issue. That your air cleaner and opening some windows and increasing ventilation may help temporarily, but you're not addressing the underlying issue, like a moisture intrusion issue where you have mold growing on some drywall or on some building materials where you're not seeing those things yet. By the time you see mold coming through the drywall, through the paint, and all that, like we said, that's just the tip of the iceberg right there. You're right. Likely onto a much larger problem that's growing behind that drywall and on the building materials. But by the time you see it, you got a much bigger problem. So answer that question. The short end is yes, they'll help. But if you're not addressing those underlying issues by having an assessment company come out, take a look at those things and give you a protocol to remediate that problem, the problem's going to get worse. And although those things will help on the front end, they'll help less and less as that problem gets bigger and bigger. So you'll want to get somebody out to take a look at that, give you some real solutions to put in place and get those things taken care of and give yourself a solid baseline, and then continue to use those air cleaners and continue to, you know, open your windows and get some increased ventilation in there. Because again, it's going to help. It's a good thing to address the underlying issue and get that taken care of.
Right. I agree. That's so important. I think for all of us right now, getting fresh air is important. Of course, unless you live in an area that has compromised air quality in the outdoor environment, but for them, really focusing on clean air and a clean indoor environment is pretty important. So all great questions. We'll let you know as well that if you have other questions that come up, feel free to submit those. We're going to give you some information about contact information for our company here in a little bit. You can always email us with any questions. You can call us. We love to talk to clients or the general public about questions. And we truly are a company who believes in educating. It's really what we're about and through our service. But even if you have a question, you want to just call us, we don't charge for the phone call. And of course, if we can help answer those questions on the phone, we're happy to help in any way. But again, any follow-up questions, let us know. We're happy to help with that. Well, Mike, do you have any final thoughts? Anything else you want to?
I think you hit it on the head there. You know, the reason why a lot of people get into the indoor air quality business is because we care about people. We really want to help provide a better solution for them. It's so important, and it's why I got into the industry, and I know it's why you got in. So having the opportunity to help you solve your indoor air quality issues is why we're in the business. So if you're having any issues, you have any questions or whatsoever, please feel free to reach out to us. And we're happy to help. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show. Awesome first show, first live show. I think you did a great job, and I was happy to be here. Look forward to doing more with you in the future.
Absolutely, Mike. I thank you so much for your time as well. And for our general audience, like Mike said, if you do have general questions, definitely feel free to give us a call. Reach out to our excellent customer service team at 1-800-619-MOLDSCI.com. And again, that's client-service@MOLDSCI.com. And Mike, what is your Texas contact information?
You guys can reach us at consultant@moldtx.com. That's consultant, one word, at moldtx.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you again next Thursday, same time and channel. Have a safe and healthy week. Until next time, breathe easy. Thank you for joining me today for this episode of the Secret Life of Mold podcast. If you need help with mold issues in your home or office, we'd love to help. For our Texas location, please call 888-335-MOLD. That's 888-335-6653. Or email contact@moldtx.com. For our locations other than Texas, reach out to our customer care team at 800-619-MOLD. That's 800-619-6653. Or email us at contact@moldsci.com.